This is our last session, and I want to thank the Lord who enabled each one of us to attend this series of meetings, and I want to express my gratitude and thanks to the assembly and especially those who initiated and took pain to bring me over here and to give me this opportunity to share from the Word. Yesterday we were looking at the nature of love. And before that, we also noticed that how God was successfully able to express Himself through His Son. And that would truly make us more understand that without God's love, we cannot understand God. And without the Son of God, we cannot understand God. And so God loved the world by giving His Son. And there we understand God. And then the Hebrew writer says that before, to the fathers and to many in various times and various ways, He expressed, He spoke. But in these last days, He spoke through His Son. Means finally He could really express Himself. Finally He could speak fully through His Son. And the Son rightly told, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. So what a joy it gives that the expression of God is complete through love and through His Son. Yesterday we were also looking at the nature of love or the perfections of love. And we saw that love has two hands. I told those hands are long hands, and I also told those hands are slow hands, because we found for the surprise that love is actually very, very slow. Why? Because the whole description says love cannot be fast, and there are reasons for it. I will read that portion and once more remind you why love is slow and why love has two long hands. From verse 4 onwards, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 onwards. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And this every description of love says that love cannot be fast, it has to go slow, because it suffers long. And when you are kind, can you be instantly kind? Finished. Done. Can you do that? No. Kind means you have to tolerate. You have to give. You have to understand. You have to be concerned. You have to plan. You have to be appropriate. Yes, and then it says does not envy. Oh, it's a long thing. It's not a one-point thing. And does not parade itself, to control oneself, to show not and to hide. It takes time. And everything, I don't want to take everything because we have to save some time so that I could cover some of the portions which I am intending to do depending upon the Lord. What I mean to say is that the kind of love we thought of, or the kind of love the world expresses, has nothing to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love in first sight is something 1 Corinthians 13 has no idea about. But this love prepares itself and takes the first step with a decision, with a willingness to suffer long. That's the first baby step of love. And I told you, the suffering and kindness are the two arms of love. And the description given about love can be categorized in these two arms. About suffering, I told that it gives eight things which it expels, and while four things it exhibits. So under the title Suffer Long comes the 8 point, and under the title Being Kind comes the 4 points. And we also thought these 8 are actually negative in nature. How? It says does not. It means what love does not do are the 8 things. And what love do is the 4 things. That means kindness is something which acts, while suffering long is something which waits. Hope you are getting the idea. And so when it waits, does not envy. When it waits, does not parade. When it waits, is not puffed up. When it waits, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice. Those are the 8 things. While you come to the exhibiting part, when you come to the action part, there we have bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So hope you got the 2 arms. Hope you got the exhibiting part and the expelling part. So what a wonderful thing this love is. And yesterday we saw 2 things about love, and that was envieth not and wanteth not. Let me briefly say, yesterday Brother Bevan was reminding me that some believers had a bit difficulty because I think I got a bit passionate and I was slightly fast. And I think now also am I fast? Should I slow down a little? Okay, it's fine. Okay, fine then. Okay, so here we see envieth not. The word zilu means it has 2 things together. Even if the word envy is 1 word, it has 2 things together. It has envy and it has jealousy also. Envy, what does it do? It deprives from others. While jealousy, it wants it all. And we found in the process, envy does 1 more thing. Envy triggers envy in others. It gets a kind of pleasure when it triggers others. And yesterday we saw a child will show his or her toys to other children. Not to give, not to share, but to say, I have it, and then they will get a kind of envy about this child, and that it gives a pleasure. So we saw about envy in that way. And we also saw what Satan did. Satan found he lost the presence of God. He lost the glory he had as an angel. So Satan wanted man also should lose God, and God should lose man. And so Satan went to Adam and Eve and said, you can become like God. You will be free and independent. So when they sinned, Satan found, oh, Adam and Eve has lost their glory. They lost God. And God also lost Adam and Eve. Oh, he is happy. See, that's what envy does. Deprives and wants everything for himself. And then the second point was that love does not envy, and love does not parade itself. The word parade itself, I told you, in defense we have a lot of parade. But this parade makes no sense other than becoming proud about or showing off our pride. And that is something we all do. And here we see that we have this tendency to show off. Instead of hiding, instead of being humble and meek, we want to show off, and we at the same time don't want to share. Want to say to others, I have what you don't have. And make them feel more inadequate by showing what all you have. But then we also saw when God loved you. Here it is written not about what you should not do, but says love does not parade. Means if it shows something, it is ready to share. Then there is nothing to parade. You have, I have. There is nothing to parade. And when Jesus Christ came to this world, the one who had everything to parade, to show, he did not show anything. He chose to come in a poor house, home, family. But if he wanted to show what all he could have shown, And yet, all the glory, in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, we read, the intent of God is this, that he may give it to us. The one who gave his son wants to give everything along with him. So, if you want to parade, you have to show and not share. But love will not parade means, if it shows something, it is intended to share also. And all what you have in heaven is yours. That's what the father says to the older son. Everything that's mine is yours. There is no parading. So that's what we learned yesterday. I have to rush, so cannot wait over there. And what was the third thing which love will not do? It's written, love is not puffed up. The word is phusio in Greek, and it means to be inflated or to have an exaggerated idea of oneself. To have an exaggerated idea of oneself. And I want to let you know, many of us who think that we are right in thinking who we are, in the minimal way, as far as God is concerned, it's an exaggerated way. We think we are something. You know, sometimes in the assembly or in the family, we may come and complain and say, such and such insulted me. You know why do we say that? Because we have an idea about ourselves, that who we are. Keeping that position in our mind, we say, such and such insulted me. If I am a beggar, almost all the behavior which you would show to me is normal. And I will not feel, insulted. Because who am I? What do I think about myself? I am a beggar. But then if I think that I am something, then your behavior I will calculate. I will try to understand and try to weigh and say, such and such insulted. This is not the way to invite me. This is not the way to address me. Or you did not introduce me properly. You know, these are the complaints we have. Or you did not give me such and such opportunity. Or did not make me to sit in the front or in the back. We don't know what all. So these complaints comes from where? Comes from ego. And ego is again an exaggerated idea of oneself. This is not to criticize, but to give you an idea again. Sometimes why we don't share gospel? Because we think we will be insulted or mocked. Are you greater than what you owe? You are indebted. You have to. Once I asked my son, that's why I told you this is not to criticize or to say bad about him, but he was a small child. Maybe he was studying in 6th or 7th standard when I asked this. I asked him, son, do you share gospel to your friends? And you know what he said? Papa, or he calls me Papa, I don't know whether you are used to that word, or you can call me Daddy. Or as, okay. So he said, it will affect my image. And I said, whom do you think you are? And this is one thing I always try to do with my children, to help them know who they are. If they would not share a chocolate, then I will say, you know, son, why you did not share that chocolate? Oh, I had only one. No, that's not the reason. Because we are selfish people. Because we love ourselves. We seek our own. And do you know that from where this habit has come in you? It has come in you through Papa. It is my DNA. It's me. Can you see who we are? We are ugly people. Our heart is ugly. We are not good people. And that's why we say such things, we think such things, we behave like we. And then I try, why did you say like that? Why did you do like this? Why did you keep it, you hide it? Something like that. You know, I always try to help them how bad our hearts are. And it helps them to value them in a scriptural perspective, to see themselves. No, I know an old man. He was, I think, that time, probably about 70. And he was trying to do something with the fan, and suddenly a cat crossed and he got angry and he fell down and he broke his leg. His hand. This man was a drunkard. He would abuse his wife. Never would care for his family or feed them. That kind of a person he was. But when he fell, the moment he fell, the first word came out of his mouth was this: "Oh God, what sin I did that I had to break my hand." He has no clue about himself. Are you getting the point? Now there is another way to look at it. There are some who say, "Brother, I don't like medicines. I don't like eating capsules and tablets." Then I would say to them, "Brother, I like." What? I mean, what do you think about others? Is there anybody in the world who would like to pop, you know, capsules and tablets? Nobody likes. But then you think about only yourself, and you think what you like is very important thing. That everybody should know, I don't like. Exaggerated idea. You have a problem, you can say that. That's a different thing. But you think this is a news for everyone that I don't like. And some say, I don't do because I don't like. And then when I say, "Do you read Bible?" He say, "You see, I don't like." Who asks you whether you like it or not? If you are a child of God, you need to know the mind of God. Nobody is asking you permission. A king should have a copy and he should read it day and night. Who do you think you are? "Oh, such and such insulted me." The word of God says, "I am not even a man, I am a worm." When you die, you know what? Worms doesn't come from outside to eat you. It comes from inside and eats you. Do you know that? If you would not put injection and all those medicines within hours of your death, and if you are not put in a mortuary or something, you know, to cool down your body or to freeze all those bacterial action, worms will come outside of your body. Do you know that? I mean, all this cream and all this thing which you apply, all this makeup and stuff, it will come through your nose and your mouth and your ears first. And then, of course, other bacteria also attacks you. What I mean to say is that who you are, if you don't take bath for a couple of days in this, there in India we say every day, but here I have to say a couple of days because you don't sweat normally. What I mean to say is that we simply stink. If you don't brush one day, we stink. Take it in any way, outside or inside, the word of God says we are vipers. Poison is here. So that's the idea. And if you know who you are, if you know who you are, you will not be puffed up. You will not be puffed up. And then we need to understand how the word, how love goes for it. Love comes out of the shade and does what it needs to do and then hides. You know, the opposite of being puffed up is this. Love comes out of the shade, does what it needs to do, and then hides. But the person who is puffed up, he cannot hide. You see, he's puffed up. He cannot hide. So that's the meaning the word phusio is trying to give us. Let's go to the next point. That is the fourth nature of love. Under the title, it suffers long. What does it do? Does not behave rudely. Does not behave rudely. In some translation is written, behaves not unseemly. The word is askimino. It means if unfitting act on a given situation. Does not behave unseemly means it always acts fittingly. It would never behave in a given situation. We don't know what is the situation, any kind of situation. It would not behave unfittingly. And the real meaning given over there is even more attractive. You know what is given? The word askimino actually means best behavior to one's fiancé. That's the meaning given. Means what? You know, before you are married, that's the time your spouse or your partner or your would-be would try his level best to be good with you. That's the time he squeezes his all good thing out so that he could be nice with you. And the word of God says, that's the nature of love every time with everybody. Before it acts, it thinks what's the best way in this given situation to act, to say, what is the best? Oh, that's the nature of love. And that's what here it's trying to say. So I would like to say this, the best is the normal behavior of a Christian if 1 Corinthians 13 is the kind of love you have. The best is the normal behavior of a Christian. What a challenge this nature of love gives. We cannot go anywhere else. You know, as I was reading and I wanted to worship the Lord suddenly reminded me, where are you taking your mind away? Bring it here itself and you can worship. And then I said, oh God, you bear all things, you believe all things, you endure all things, and you hope all things, and you envieth not, and you are never puffed up, and you never behave unseemingly. And I worship saying the love, because God is love. And God was saying, when you understand love, you are getting three things. One, you're getting the nature of love. You know what to desire. You know what to desire. Second, you realize the fact when you desire this kind of love, you're actually desiring God Himself. And the third thing you will know, no way you can produce it other than when God gives you. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit is beginning with what? Love. You cannot produce. This love is impossible. And you will understand when we continue to meditate upon it. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Look not here and there. Look not into yourself. You cannot produce it. It is impossible. And I will show you that which we think we have is actually most of the time not even approved by God. For example, I'm crossing in between to remind certain things when I remember I just said to you. You know, for example, we think these qualities, for example, envy not and parade not and puff not and behave not rudely or doesn't seek its own or bears all things, believes all things, is something we see in mothers. Don't we see it? I can see it in my mother. You know? But my question is this. Yesterday I popped that question just to make you think. My question is this. Is the behavior of a mother the fruit of the Spirit? Because unbeliever mother can also produce the same behavior. And would God accept our right behavior if it is from the flesh? Because Bible says all your good works are like filthy rags. The source is important at this point. So a mother, normally, I mean, you can take in any context, but I'm just taking mother in this context. If a mother thinks, oh, At least to my son, you know, when he is prospering, I don't envy. When he comes to me, I never get puffed up. And I bears him, I believes him, I hopes in him, I endures him. Oh, that means I have the fruit. No. That is not only that you have, it only unbeliever mothers also have, and even in the animal kingdom, you know, mothers show this kind of nature. And to my surprise, the Lord reminded me one more thing. Is it the herbivorous mother or the carnivorous mother who has to endure more or suffer more? What's your opinion? Carnivorous or herbivorous? You know why I ask this question? If a cow gives a calf, or, you know, that calf can get up that very hour and it can run around and it can save itself, it can hide. And this is something true with almost every herbivorous. But that's not same with carnivores. A dog or a puppy will take 3-4 days to even open its eyes. And it may take 5 to 6 months to, you know, slowly move around. And that's the same with lion and fox and bear and all those carnivorous, you know, its puppy or kid or whatever. And what about our children? It takes years by the time it... What I mean to say is that we look at carnivorous animals as more cruel. But those animals has to suffer more with their children because it's because of the way it is, it grows. What I mean to say is that we need to discern the fruit of the spirit and the works of flesh. It may have similar behaviors, but God would approve only if the source is from the spirit, and there should not be any doubt about it. One more way you can help yourself is this: to realize the same kind of love you have for your child, do you have for everyone? Because love, it's not written, love suffers long with its children. Is it written like that? No, love suffers long with everyone, especially the unlovable. Here, what are we trying to see? We are trying to see the kind of love I have, even if it is similar with the description given over here. What I have to discern is that whether it is from the spirit or how much it is from the spirit. And if any of you think that I have this love, so you, this is one way to discern. This love, is it applicable to everyone or only to your loved ones? That brings it back, brings us back to zero. We say square one means, hope you understand, square one means you're back at the same place. This brought me to zero level. I thought I have something with me. But I understood the kind of love 1 Corinthians 13 is saying has to come from the spirit, and we need to know it is not from within. It is from the Lord. It is the fruit of the spirit. So we need to see that hope that would sink into your heart the way we are trying to understand it. What was what we were trying to see? We were trying to see behaves not unseemly. Now, the next one, the fifth thing is that does not seek its own. Does not seek its own. Now, you see, mostly children, they always seek their own. And we try to show some manners at some point, but it's a normal thing to seek our own. In the family, we may try a little bit here and there, but the true meaning given over here is in this way. The one who has this kind of love, who will not seek its own, is the one who would sow the seed of love in another person's field. Means, love cannot be cultivated in your own field. Are you getting the point? Love is such a seed, such a thing, such a fruit, which cannot be cultivated in your own field. Why I am saying like that? Because you cannot love yourself. You have to love others. The love nature over here is given for others. And there the big mystery comes again alive, that if God is love, God cannot be singular one. In God there are three persons. And if God is just singular one, as Muslim says, and if we say God is love, before creation, whom did he love? Am I making sense? If God is love, and there is no Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but only the Father, then the thing is that he is not Father, because to become Father, you need to have a Son. And again, I should not use the word become, because he is an eternal Father who has an eternal Son. The meaning Son is a title, not that he became something. But what I wanted to say, as Muslim friend says, God is singular one, not unity one. Triune. Triune. But they say it's one. And if that's the case, and God is love, whom did God love before creation? So he loved his Son, and it was the love between. So that's what we see over here. Love seeketh not her own. And it says that you have to sow the seed in another's field, and then only you will see that love. Now, the next point is, love is not provoked. Now, how is it in KJV? Can anybody please help me to read about love is not provoked? How is it written in KJV? Verse 5. Is not easily provoked. Now, let me let you know, a small mischievous thing happened with the word easily. Actually, the proper translation should be, love is not provoked. It should not be, love is not easily provoked. Love is never provoked, not provoked. But what happened? It was King James who was initiating the translation, and he was a very short-tempered person. So the translators were very afraid of writing love is not provoked. So they wrote, you know, love is not easily provoked. And when the Lord taught me this lesson, that love is not provoked, he just pointed at me and told, George Matthew, from today onwards, I don't want to listen any excuse that why you were provoked. Don't search for reasons for your provocation, because you have no choice. Love is not provoked. That's the meaning given. You know, our problem is that we give excuses. We say such and such thing happened and it was too much, and I forgive 3 times and 4 times and 5 times. And at last, you see, I'm a human being, and so, such and such and things happened. No, that's not what God is saying when he is describing 1 Corinthians 13, the kind of love which he knows. So then, love is not provoked, we see in Jesus Christ. 1, 2, and 3, they all were provoking the Lord, and the Lord was silent, and he went on and on and on. And at last, he climbed on the cross and he said this, O Lord, O Father, they know not what they are doing. Are you not provoked? No, Lord, O Father, they know not what they are doing. I read in a book like this, the way he was standing in front of Pilate, it seems as if he don't know that he is going to be crucified. I mean, nothing is provoking him. We all look at it as his humility, but the truth is that he loved each one of us. Every religion is afraid of provoking God, because that can bring complete annihilation, destruction to the world. That's the way the story goes in other religion. But God, he says, love is not provoked. And in that context, the chastening of God is the best thing you can get, because an unprovoked God is chastening you. He will not do it too much, or he will not do it less. It is planned and designed for your problem. And that's why the word of God says, every temptation, he brings a solution altogether with it. He molds you, he builds you, and he sees to it that you are always constructed, not destructed. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, and how far I am from this truth. That love. I get provoked with everything, and I have no reason. And I told you, if you learn this, you will always remember this, because you are always provoked. Envy or jealousy or puffing up or all these things comes into you every moment, every moment, every moment. Love suffers long. You take any instance and you can apply it. It will be with you. And that's the wonder of this subject. Let's go to the next point. And the next point says, things not evil. Things not evil. Now, we think, well, at least this I have. I don't think evil. That's not the meaning given over here. The meaning given in the Greek is, the word is legizomai. Means, it doesn't keep an account. And it interprets well. It doesn't keep an account. Means, it doesn't keep a log. See, the word itself is what? Logizomai. The log. What for log? You said once. I remember, brother, last year you said once this, and now this year you said two times you said. Do you have such kind of log? You know, I know that people over here are very systematic. You see, you write down everything, and I mean, everything is planned. I'm afraid, do you have this log also? It kind of loses its counts. It's not a good accountant. Love is not a good accountant. Love forgets to count. How much you gave, how much you forgive, how much you shared, how much you helped. Who counts? How much you want is what counts. Do you count when you give something to your children? In fact, I'm sorry to say this, but you know, we Indians are surprised with this one culture we have here. I mean, in the Western world in common. That you would... You would expect your son to pay rent if he stays, I should not say in your house, in his own house. It's his father's house. I mean, that's something we listen and we discuss in India with surprise. I mean, it's so difficult for us to understand that. But then I'm not blaming. But still, you know, okay, anyway, leave it. So what I wanted to say is that things no evil means it's not counting against you. It's not accumulating. And the other thing is that it interprets well. See, once you did, I thought it is not, that was not his intention. You thought right. But when you did it second time, I think this is your intention. So you are deriving the intention. That means you are interpreting a particular word, action, or phrase. And let me say this. If you love a person, you are the best interpreter for him. And you know who best interprets for me? It's my mother. I mean, in the world. You know how she... No, that's not what he intended. And she's the only one who would say that. Why? I know. And everybody knows. You are his mother. That's why. You will not understand. And if you don't have love, you will interpret it wrongly only. See, brother, he gave me shake hand and he shook my whole shoulder. I'm afraid whether it got dislocated. That's interpretation. Brother, he's such a person, he smiled at me. Actually, he was not smiling. He was actually ridiculing me. Love has two things to do. It can amplify your good deed, while if you don't have love, your bad deed will be amplified. Both the ways, you will amplify. Hope you know what the meaning of amplifier. I just smiled, and you amplified it. You see? And Jesus Christ, out of love, when the woman anointed him, he said, with amplification, she did it for my burial. That's the amplification of love. The woman would give two mites and he would say, she gave everything. She gave the most. Oh, just think. We, this much people, 10, 15, if we would amplify each other with love, every action, the nature of love does not think evil. This is one problem we have in India also, this kind of interpretation. So I always remind them the law of interpretation. The law of interpretation says this. If a common sentence makes common sense, please don't seek or search for another sense. You will end up with nonsense. If a common sentence makes common sense, just be happy and content with that. Don't go for another meaning. And that's how you can proceed. So here we have that logos imai, that means keeps no account. I think that is where the Lord would say, you can forgive a person 770 times. Now let me ask you this question. Have you committed any mistake to any brother 770 times? That means 490 times. Have you ever committed that much to any brother? Before that, everything will end, right? And can you really count the whole 490? What is the meaning? What is the meaning? You will lose count. That's the meaning. That is where the Lord says you can forgive 770 times. That means there is not a single point where you need to have a doubt whether I am loving this person more than I should. The Lord will never, ever come and say to you, brother, you can control your love because you are loving too much. You will never cross the border of love. God so loved the world. God, you are planning to give your son? That's too much. Actually, I'm not planning to give my son. I'm planning to give my son's life. That's too much. Not for those whom is lovable, but even for those who hate. Come on, Lord. And I also expect you to love like me. What? That's simple. And that's what this word says. We have to rush for the next word also. The last one under the title Suffering Long is rejoices not in iniquity. Rejoices not in iniquity means it does not rub hands secretly. It has not malignant joy. Means, you know, when something happens to your enemy, I knew that. God is righteous, you see. That kind, you know, when Saul died, when Jonathan died, Saul, yesterday I told, 24 different ways tried to kill David. King Saul tried to kill David in 24 different ways. But yet when Saul died, David did not rub his hands. Instead, he honored those who honored the burial of the king. He said, well done. What you have done to your master would be remembered. Good. Now, when I say this, rejoice not in iniquity, I am sure you will also say, brother, at least in this point I am clear. I don't rejoice in other person's iniquity, you see. Now, I am going to give you an example. Think somebody in the office spreads rumors about you. Okay? Says something plus minus about you. And then you are suffering, and you as a Christian, you are tolerating him and you are being quiet. That's good. You are praying about him. And one day the master, the boss, the CEO calls both of you. And in front of you, he asks this person, I have heard that you are spreading rumors about your boss or your colleague, such and such things. And I have found that all what you have said is wrong. Do you have any explanation or proof? In front of you. And then this person says, well, that's what I heard from others, and I did not intend that. I don't have proof, things like that. Anyway, you are disciplined and punished, and for 3 months you will do such and such job, very lowly job, very much low from your position, for 3 months. Now that thing, that night when you come back home, you want to surely share it to your wife, right? And will you be happy or sad? And wouldn't you say, praise the Lord, God is righteous. You know what happened today. And you should have seen his face. And tomorrow morning, the first thing I'm going to do is to meet him and say, good morning. That's rejoicing in iniquity. That's feasting in others' failure and thinking that's a fortune. When Jacob was limping, his children could not even eat the nerve of an animal of that same part. Rejoices not in iniquity. And that is what is written over there. And you know, you will be surprised. Some assembly in India, I'm sorry to say this, may the Lord forgive me. You know, there was a quarrel, there was a fight, literal fight. But that was recorded in video, in WhatsApp. It was recorded. What? We just heard about Logos of mine. But this person recorded it in WhatsApp and sent it to every brother. Now, what's that? You want to understand how to love? The best way is that the word of God very clearly says, and that is, again, came to me with a surprise. You know, we may say it's not possible to love people like this, but God says it is possible, and it is there in you also. It is not from the Spirit, yet it is there in you. And God can prove it very easily. And God takes that as an example. You know how? He says, as you love yourself. Ah. That's not from the Spirit, but you still know how to love yourself. And would you want your quarrel to be put in WhatsApp or in the media? If you love yourself, you will never do that. And that's what Matthew 22 says. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this was the shock I got. God is saying, you cannot even say nobody can love like that. You cannot even say, I don't know that kind of love, because you love yourself like that. And that's why God says, I have a perfect example how to love your neighbor. Just love him the way you love yourself. Easy. And now what can we say? You know, we ought to love everyone. My time is up. I'm sorry I could not finish the other four. But maybe I will make one comment. You know, verse 7 says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. All the four times the word all is written. What does that mean? Well, brother, I will bear all things, but not these things. You know, the word all doesn't mean that. All means all. Bear. You have to bear how much? You have to bear what all? You have to bear whom all? There is no such segregation. No borders. No limits. No caste, no color, no language. Bears all things. There are many assembly who would not allow translation, because they just cannot bear the other language. For example, think here there are 10, 15 Malayalis who have come and they have no clue about Malayalam. Sorry, English. Like old people or parents have come. And then there is a consideration in the assembly, brother, you know, since at least 5 or 6 of our members, they don't know English. Should we translate? Should we consider the option of translating for them? And many assemblies, years together, would say, let them learn English. We just cannot tolerate one more language. And so we see, we have to bear all things. I just want to show you this. You have any doubt? It says believes all things. You have any doubt? Hopes all things, endures all things. Maybe from all this, I want to put one thing. It gives an opportunity, a chance every time. See, believes all things. I believe. Oh, no problem. I believe. Okay, last time you cheated me, but this time I believe. One more chance. Take it. Hope all things means, okay, I'm hoping you will do better. One more chance. 490 chances. Here it is. No logos or mine. No log. No count. Love bears all things. And the prodigal son came back. And the father gave him what? All things. Believed. Hoped. Come in. One more chance. No problem. But the elder, the older son, he had no hope in this prodigal son. In fact, he lost his hope and belief in the father himself. Oh, what a difference it makes. I just want to say this. In all this, put God. Yesterday we did that. He envies not. He loves souls. He bears souls. He endures souls. He hopes all things. God hopes all things. Jesus Christ hopes all things. Endures all things. Bears all things. Now put George Matthew there. Put your name over there. Can a person rush to your home without appointment? Can a man just get in stinking shirt and, you know, not trim this hair and just come in and say, give me gospel? Would you hug him? Would you allow him to sit in inside? What about giving him a coffee? What about talking to him without prejudice? What about loving him? So it's a big question. And here we see, in Jesus Christ it fits. And of course, if you put mother over there, it fits many places. But I told you, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the nature which God has given in creation. I want to maybe give you some assignment-like thing. And that is this. You know, this love, if it really happens in us, if God brings it in us, will you allow that to happen? Because what will happen? Brother, if this love comes in me and fills in me and I become this love, what will happen? What will happen? Oh, I will tolerate everybody, I will forgive everybody, I will hope in. I am afraid of being like that. Are you afraid? This is that portion where you can become like Jesus Christ. This is knowing Christ. You know, knowing has three levels. One, know Christ. Second is knowing Christ or tasting Christ. And third is becoming like Christ. I want to say it like this. A girl knows her mother. A girl grows. And then she is knowing her by experience, tasting her. That is on another level of knowing. But that girl tomorrow becomes a mother. And now she knows her mother by becoming a mother. Are you getting the point? So the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know him, wants us to taste him, but wants us to know him by becoming like him. That's what the intention of the word or intention of the Lord is, that we may be conformed to the image of the Son. That's what 1 John says, that we will see him as he is because we will become like him. Oh, are you afraid to become like Christ? That's something you can think upon. The another thing which you can think is, the word says, in love, there is no law against you. Or for the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against you. Galatians teach that. What does that mean? You know, if you forgive anybody, no law will catch you. If you hope, if you envy not, if you help, no law will catch you. There is no law in the world which can arrest you if you produce the fruit of the Spirit. Is it not wonderful? And that's what the Word of God says, where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Nobody will check you. It will go, you don't know from where it is coming, you don't know from where it is going. Because nobody will stop you. Love has no borders. It needs no visa. It needs no PR. It needs no citizenship. Love never fails. This has brought me to a level where I am indebted to all. And I'm always thinking one thing, I cannot repay. I cannot pay enough. I cannot love enough. And I have no count because none of the count really matters. I have to love till I die. I think the Lord is saying to me like this, my son, even if you don't have this love, at least in this attitude, if you can live a whole life, that I owe you. I owe every stranger, I owe every unlovable person, every neighbor, every relative, every sinner, every drunkard, I owe you. I need to love you. I have to love you because the Lord has loved me. We owe everyone. If we could live like that in our office, oh, what a wonderful person we would be. Let the Lord help us and bless us with these words. Once more, thank you very much for this opportunity. Let his name be glorified. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful lesson which you have taught us. We are so glad to know that God is love. We are so excited. And we are so bold now to know, O Lord, that you are ready and you are willing to suffer us. And you have decided to be kind to us. And you want to share everything with us. And you are ready to put hope and trust and belief in us. Oh, love bears all things. Love is strong. Love endures all things. Love has great stamina. Father, we worship you, for it was in love you have chosen us. In love you gave your Son. In love he died on the cross. And in love you want us to be presented in front of you without wrinkle and without spot. And only in love we could be like that, O Lord. We thank you and rejoice in you. We are so glad, O Lord, that this is the kind of God you are. When you taught us love, we were actually looking and gazing at you. And actually we were finding you. And we were finding one more thing, that we are becoming invisible. Or as John says, we are decreasing and you were increasing. Yes, O Lord, when we learned love, there is no doubt you were increasing. We give you all glory. And thank you, Lord, for the guidance of the Spirit and for the Holy Word. We humbly ask this prayer in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.